We continue on this week in John's Gospel. And as I mentioned just a few moments ago, today is graduation day in Plattsburgh. And so I was thinking back to several years ago when I experienced my own graduation, but even longer than that was high school. And one of the traditions that we had in my school was we had a student newspaper. And at the end of the school year, one of the sections of the student newspaper was devoted to the senior class. And in that part of the newspaper, we had senior wills. And so every single senior that graduated got to write their own will and put it out in writing. And so students would leave all sorts of different things. They would leave their talents, like someone might say, I leave my basketball skills, and they would name a person that they wanted to leave that to. Or they would leave their coveted locker space that everyone wanted, or a certain sports number that they had all throughout high school. Or others might leave their ability to be the one that caused a certain teacher the greatest annoyance. But whatever it was, they left something behind. They left something to someone, something that they were known for, something to pass on. And as we approach this text this morning, Jesus, in some ways, is kind of saying out loud his own will, what he wants to leave behind when he goes on to be with God. As I've said for the past couple weeks, Easter is almost like a funeral in a lot of ways. It's this big eulogy about the life of Jesus Christ and the legacy that Jesus left behind for us. And so often, as we think about funerals, one of the questions that I often think about when I'm speaking with a family or looking at the life of a person who has passed on, we think about, what did they leave behind? What is their legacy? I've sat down with numerous families and had this conversation, and I have had some children sit down and say, yeah, you know, my mom was just not a pleasant person to be around. They said it not quite that nicely. But then I've had other folks that have sat down and said, you know what, my mom, she was a saint. She was the best person that I ever knew. Sometimes I wonder, what would people say about us? What are we leaving behind? What is the long-lasting impression? How are we transforming the world? Jesus obviously left a huge legacy behind as we remember him and his actions thousands of years later. In the New Testament, in this part of John's Gospel, we're in John 14 again this week, we are continuing on in what folks call the farewell discourse. And this is chapters 14 through 17 in the Gospel of John, where Jesus, immediately following the Lord's Supper, the night before his crucifixion, he offers his disciples these final words. And it's generally seen as having four distinct components. And the first of those is this section of John's Gospel. And the theme is all about his departure and then also his return. It's about peace and joy. Jesus says he's going to be with the Father, but he's going to send a comforter in his place to be with his friends, to be with the disciples. And then in the next chapter, we get the second part of the discourse. And this is the part where Jesus calls himself the vine. And Jesus shows how he is the source of life for the community. And at the end of this, it leads to the discussion about how the world has hate in it. And so then we enter into the third section the third part of the discourse. And this also deals with Jesus' departure, but it shows the contrast between the love that Jesus has, the love that Jesus is leaving behind, and contrast that to the world. And then finally, in the fourth piece, Jesus offers this farewell prayer, where he offers five specific petitions to the Father as he prays for the disciples, for the community of believers, and also for us. And so we're going to read on in the first of these four sections. So I'm going to start, I'm going to be in John 14, and I'm going to begin in verse 15. Jesus says these words to the disciples. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you. You will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. They who have my commandments and keep them, they are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus ends this part of the text by saying, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And Jesus begins this section by saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus is directly equating the love that we have for him when we cry out and we say, I love you, Lord. I worship you. Jesus is saying, if you say that, if you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And so I started to wonder, what commandments is Jesus referring to, right? The Bible's full of different kinds of commandments, all sorts of rules and things that we are called to follow. And if we just look at what Jesus says earlier in the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, hey guys, I'm giving you a new commandment, right? This new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes on to say that this is how everyone will know that they are his followers, by their love. So part of keeping God's commandments is to love each other. And so then we have to ask ourselves, well, what does love really mean? We're obsessed with the notion of love, right? We have romantic comedies and shows and all sorts of things that tell us what love means. We even have holidays that specifically celebrate love. When we think about what love means for the Christian community, we also get all sorts of examples. In 1 Corinthians, we hear these famous words that's often read at weddings, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. And then in the Old Testament, we hear in Leviticus 19 that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. And this is echoed in the New Testament when Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in 1 John, we hear this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who is born of God and knows God, whoever does not love does not know God. To love is to know God. But here, Jesus' statement just says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It implies that if we love Jesus, we are called to love one another, leaving the means of our love to our own discretion. Well, Jesus gives us a clear example in the text of what it means to show that kind of love. Jesus says to them, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another advocate." The love of God and the love of Jesus offers the disciples this promise of not being orphaned, of not being alone, that Jesus is going to send to them another advocate. Jesus was the first advocate, right? At the beginning of John's gospel, we hear, "For God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his son." He sent the first advocate to be with us, to walk among us, to teach us, to guide us, to show us, to die for us, and to rise again. God's pinnacle act of love. But Jesus says, "I'm still not done. God's going to send another advocate. God's going to send the Spirit to live and to be inside of you and to move and to show you the way so that you will not be alone." This is the promise that God offers to us. And I think this is the same call that we have if we really want to love God and love one another, that we are called to be advocates in the world. If we read on in John's gospel to the very end in chapter 21, this is after the resurrection, right? So we're in the farewell discourse right now, and then the crucifixion happens, and then the resurrection happens. And then we come to this place where the disciples have gathered and they're on a beach and they're having breakfast and Jesus suddenly appears. And it says this, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter," if you remember, Simon Peter had denied Jesus, right? He denied Jesus three different times. And Jesus comes up to Simon and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Okay, feed my lambs." And a second time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, you know that I love you." He says, "Tend to my sheep." And for the third time, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he had to ask three times. And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." We are called to be advocates too. We are called to be the presence of God in the midst of a hurting world. We are called to do what Jesus told Peter. If we say we love God, we're called to feed his sheep, to tend to his lambs, to care for those who are hurting and broken. Right now feels like a time of isolation, a time of loneliness, a time when we don't even know if we can hug one another. But Jesus says, "I want you to be my advocate too." This week, my prayer for you is to look for opportunities to do just that. We are ever so blessed to have the technology that we do, even though sometimes it's tiring and exhausting to sit in front of screens, and it just doesn't feel the same. At least we have the ability to connect in that way. And so I would encourage you to look for ways that you can be a part of the legacy of Jesus Christ. That in these moments when Jesus tells us, "I will never leave you alone," how can you make sure that we aren't leaving others alone in the midst of this pandemic? How can you reach out and feed and tend to God's sheep? Each week we've had an action response. that I've invited you to participate in, from having a worry stone that you can keep in your pocket and rub and be reminded of the love of God, to taking that stone and putting it in water and watching the love overflow, to taking your worries and your fears and your anxieties and burying those in a box and just offering those over to God. This week, your action is simple. Take a moment, pick up the phone, and give someone a call. Hearing the words, "I love you," is meaningful and powerful. And when we feel alone, that is something that we all need to hear. So I would invite you to take a moment and to tell someone that you love them, because that is the right thing to do. Remember, in this season, life prevails, hope is found, and love wins. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for this time to gather together. God, even though we are apart, let us be reminded that you connect us to one another. God, you have given us this promise that you will never leave us alone, that you will not abandon us, that you will not leave us orphaned. And God, we too are called to follow your command to love one another just as you have loved us. God, let us be advocates for others. Let us care for others in our midst. And let us show everyone that we meet that we love them the way that you love us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.